Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Celtic are back in league action this weekend as they take on St Johnstone in the 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday at Celtic Park. This is Tino with the countdown to kickoff, joined here by James and Brido. Brido, myself and James done the post match after Livy at the weekend, but not spoke to you since that one. So, what was your general take on how it all played out in the 4-2 win?
Glad to be back on, lads. Thank you. I was glad it was a cup game in a way. Just get it over the line. We could kind of almost like say, all right, tick the box and away we go and move on to the next round and get a trip to Hampden. So I was kind of glad that it was a cup game. I think it was a league game. I'd maybe poured over it a wee bit more and looked at a lot of the kind of not so good bits. But just glad to get through, really. I just feel like it's a season that's kind of, I don't want it to feel like that, but I feel like it's dragging on a wee bit. You know, there just seems to be constant something. And just when you think you're getting somewhere, which we'll probably touch on today, something else happens and there's a lot of things to be dealing with. So that game was just a case of getting through to the next round. It wasn't easy. That was a team for Livingston that had nothing really to lose. They're having a real tough time of it, and it was probably a break from their kind of negative type stuff that's going on. So, yeah, just we dealt with it eventually, but there was... It still left a lot of questions, I think, more questions than answers. And at this stage of the season, it's not really what we want nor expect. So, yeah, it wasn't brilliant, yeah. But it was a job done.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. With a wee bit of back and forward this week, so we've done the post-match. I'm making my days right. Sunday was that one. So done the post-match after that. And James, your general point was that it wasn't great, but it's a kind of distraction. The league is the be-all and end-all. I think we can all agree that. And the cup, yeah, it was a bit turgid, but getting through is the main thing. And some folks want to, in my opinion, dwell on the fact that, well, it was still crap and we didn't play well and let's kind of stay in that area. I think we just need to chalk off the wins and move on. You can give me, Celtic potentially have 11 games left this season, 9 league games and semi-final and final if we get there. You can give me 11 of the ugliest performances you wish to throw up as long as Celtic win this league this season. Scottish Cup, a bonus. If we can win the league, I'll take it any which way it comes. And then we can regroup in the summer. Listen, it might be a future without Brendan Rodgers. We'll need to see what happens. But I think we just need to look at the here and now and back the team in, you know, between now and what would be 25th of May, Scottish Cup final day, if we get there.
It's exactly that. I mean, it's been a very pleasant 20 years to be a Celtic fan. You know, we've won everything by and large over that period. And with that comes not an expectation in terms of entitlement. I don't buy into the Celtic fans or title and all that stuff, but you're more used to winning things than not and winning things comfortably, you know, invincible seasons, all that stuff. But it's not the norm. The norm is that league campaigns, for anyone who's involved in any football, as a fan, as a player, as a manager, whatever, they're hard slogs. and it's been a hard slog this year. I actually feel a wee bit different to Prido. I think it has been hard today, but I'm really excited now. But you know, they could really, as Rogers calls it, you know, this is where the fun starts. And I can't wait for each game to come, because it takes you closer and closer to a title. You know, there's challenges there, of course, but we've got to be up for that. That's what being a football fan is. So I'm really excited about the running, and it starts on Saturday, obviously.
Yeah, I've said it a couple of times. There's a couple of ways to look at this title race, and that's definitely what it is. You can bemoan the fact that we're in a title race, because yes, we were, whatever it was, 8 points clear or whatever it was at the time. And through Celtic's failings, and that's what they've been in some recent games, we've dropped points at Aberdeen, dropped points, Kilmarnock, different occasions across the season. And it's by our own hand that we've been dragged back into this title race and now find ourselves 2 points behind. But you can either bemoan the fact or just embrace where we are. We're in mid-March and it is what it is. And we've still got a really solid chance of winning the league. But I think a huge factor in whether we do so or not will be the return of some key players. So obviously at the weekend there, we knew Callum McGregor was going to miss out. He's been struggling with this calf/Achilles issue. Cameron Carter-Vickers was a surprise exclusion from the team, and I believe that was precautionary because he tweeted something or felt something on Friday at training, last Friday at training. So we know those two are missing. Yang has still got a game of suspension to serve. And we know Rio Hatate's still not quite there, but hopefully not far away. How huge could it be, Brido, to get 2, 3 or even all 4 of those guys back, certainly for Ibrox and for the rest of the running?
It'll be absolutely massive. We managed to see quite a stark difference for Carter Vickers coming on during a game when we played Motherwell away. And him coming on essentially led us, or kind of guided us, to actually getting the all-important 3 points. Cal McGregor's a player that we're so used to. I think we sometimes, not everybody, but we can take players like that for granted sometimes, and it's only when they're not in the team, influential they are, no more so than we've seen at Tynecastle when we went down to 10 men. There should be opportunities for players. There should be opportunities for guys like Iwata to come in and play well and give real competition, but they've just not done it, and I think that's where the frustration comes in and the concern comes in. So when you touch on them coming back, it's absolutely huge. It's a must. I don't think we can cope or have any aspirations to win all the remaining games if these players aren't coming back. We thought we were kind of on the crest of getting players back when Carter Vickers came back, Edgar then went out. And then obviously that we're thinking, when's Hatate coming back? And then next thing you know, we've got two of them out again. You know, no Carter Vickers or McGregor. So it's really, when big players like that are missing, it's just, it affects the other players as well. You know, they're the leaders in the team. So the team itself is a collective, plus their individual ability. It's massive. So like James, you know, this is the exciting part of the season. But exciting if we're not got that trepidation of are these big players going to get in or not, or come back or not? So it's massive that they come back, and it's massive they come back as quickly, as early as possible.
Yeah, 100%. We were speaking on the weekly show, myself, James and Joe, just about the fact that all four of those guys, Callum McGregor, Carter Vickers, Yang and Rio Hatate, they breeze back into this starting 11. There's no debate about it. If they're fit and ready to go, those guys walk right back into the team, and rightly so. James, let's take a look at what we think Brendan Rodgers will go with then against St Johnstone. So, Joe Hart, as always, will start in goals. Do you expect the return of Cameron Carter-Vickers? I know it was a precaution, but if he feels good to go, every point, every goal is now a prisoner. He'd have to start, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I mean, some fans are leaning towards, you know, we've got obviously a game against Rangers coming up, and they're thinking, well, we don't want him relapsing and being missing for that, but there's no point in getting to the Rangers game with CCB if you drop any points on the way. So it's your strongest team, whoever commits themselves to being fit and available, and I think CCB will be in that, and he'll be picked. Yeah, he starts for me, 100%.
Yeah, agreed. There was a clip doing the rounds, and don't take any pleasure in discussing it, but it was Liam Scales and Stephen Welsh really struggled at the weekend. Not so much defensively. Well, nah, I'll correct myself. Stephen Welsh did struggle defensively with that first goal particularly. but the big onus was on what they're doing going forward and how sluggish they were in terms of starting Celtic's attacks. They got a lot of the ball, you know, on Sunday, and Celtic's second halves will always get loads of the ball in a game like that. But there was a clip doing the rounds, and it showed you, I think, five or six clips of Liam Scales, you know, compiled together, where he constantly, frequently played the ball either in line with Stephen Welsh or behind him. Whereas a confident player and a guy who's starting the attacks effectively will always put it where the player is going to be, not where he currently is. You should play it 2-3 yards ahead of him, allows him to step onto it and take it in his stride. Yeah. And he was constantly giving it to Stephen Welsh, who had to check back on himself, you know, get out his feet and then start the attack. And it only takes an extra couple of seconds, James, but that's a crucial couple of seconds when the team you're up against is trying to reorganise and regroup. You need to break pacey as and when you can.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a big part of what's stemmed their fluidity this season. And Scale's not the only one guilty of it. I think there's a nervousness to not make a mistake. So if I put it in front of the guy and somebody nicks in, blah, blah, blah. But just don't do that. You know, just be confident in your passing, find your man, but got to have it in front of him. If it's not in front of him, he's not starting the attack immediately. He's stopping. Honestly, like, it's been such a big problem this season, and a big reason why we've struggled in games, because we're at our best when we're fluid and we're attacking. By the time that the defence have got the ball out from under their feet, all the opposition players are back and you're playing that 10-v-8 situation. So yeah, I don't necessarily like Scales just being singled out for it, because he's not alone by any stretch, but it's got to stop. I mean, you are really looking at Scales has played a lot of football. He's jumped on massively in terms of his development. He's very possibly hit his ceiling. And if you had personnel, you're probably looking at giving him a rest there, but I don't know if we've got it. So it's probably CCV and Scales for me.
I don't think we do have it. I think, rightly or wrongly, it's Liam Scales' jersey for the rest of the season. I also think now, as I say, potentially 11 games left, you just can't be trying to, say it was Lager Bielka, you can't be trying to bed a guy like that. And that's, now's not the time for experimenting or playing about. So I think that'll be the move, Brido. It's Carter Vickers and Scales, and it's got to be Alistair Johnston and Greg Taylor either side. So let's take it as read that we're in agreement on those four. What do you think the midfield's going to look like? Iwata has struggled the last couple of games. Myself and James, big fans. Not sure exactly where you're at on it, but does he start again, or do we need to again change our midfield?
I think we need to change the midfield. I think it'll be a different type of game, to be fair. You know, it's not going to be like Tynecastle, for example. You know, and then the game against Livingston, I thought they gave it a decent goal and stuff, but I just felt like it just compounded the Scales Welsh thing that you were just discussing there. Iwata was doing that too. It was like he didn't want the ball. He wasn't wanting to take control of the game. I mentioned it after, like, the Hearts game. He didn't want to grab the game by the scruff of the neck. And I just think if you're getting an opportunity when McGregor's out, you've got to want to do that. Otherwise, why are you a central midfield player at Celtic? I think he's got attributes. I just don't know if he's got that killer instinct or that kind of aggression in his game. To demand the ball from the centre-halves. And if you add that to the fact that the two centre-halves take too long, it's just, that's where the problem is. You know, that for me is where it all breaks down. I wouldn't start him. I'd be playing Matt O'Reilly in that deeper midfield like we did when McGregor had a broken jaw. I would be playing Matt O'Reilly in there, and probably Bernardo and Kelly in front of him. And I think the young guys, he's not done massive amounts, but for me, he's certainly done enough that shows he's got a bit about him, and he'll be somebody I think that would take an opportunity, and we'll have a lot of the ball. He looks quite dynamic. He does not look his age. he looks very physical, and I think he would fit in just fine. And Bernardo, listen, he's probably only there by default at the minute because he's not done a great deal either. So I'd play him because he's shown what he can do from time to time. But if there was another option there, perhaps I wouldn't play him from the start either. So, but I'd play O'Reilly, Bernardo, and Kelly as my three. And Iwata would drop to the bench because I thought he was absolutely shocking the other week.
It's interesting, Brydon. I think a lot of folks would be in agreement with you. Again, just from doing the post-match with James, I don't think any of Celtic's midfield three played well. against Livingston. I think actually not a lot of the team in general played well. Of the 11 players involved, I think we highlighted that Joe Hart in goals, your two fullbacks of Taylor and Johnson, and your two white guys in terms of Kuhn and Maeda, they guys all got pass marks, and Maeda obviously for his hat track, and Kuhn showed a bit more about what he can do. But that aside, nobody else, and through the spine of the team, your two centre defenders, your three centre midfielders did not step up on the day, and that's the big concern. James, you were chatting in the group chat earlier on about Daniel Kelly, and I think you've got a similar opinion to Brido there in terms of you think he's got talent, he scored that good goal against Dundee, but he's not done much one way or another, so it's not a criticism, but we've yet to see what he's really got to offer. He must be impressing in other areas, the fact that Brendan Rodgers has made him part of his first team squad, and he's now featured, I think, off the bench in the last three games in a row. So he must have something to offer, and the game against St Johnstone, it would be a risk, but is it any more risky than playing an off-form Bernardo or potentially an off-form Iwata?
I mean, I'll start at the end. Kelly's in my starting lineup 100%. But if you look at his, you know, the last couple of games he's played, and put it this way, if we'd signed Kelly on loan, this was him starting to break through, and we had to make a decision on signing him by the end of the season based on his last couple of games and what he's shown so far, you would say, I don't know, I've not seen anything. Scored a lovely goal against Dundee, or six up, you know, so you can't really give too much for that. And his actual job is to be a bit more distributive and involved in the game, and I've not seen a lot of that. Delighted to see him coming into the first team, of course, but I need to see him put his stamp on the game. You know, it's unique, but if you look at when Bendo very briefly broke through, you went, hey, that guy's an absolute star, and I know that's quite unique. But that's what youth needs to show if they want to stay in the team, because one of the main reasons he's getting in the team is we've got personnel to compete. We've got Callum McGregor out, we've got unperforming players all around about him. He's got a real opportunity here. I don't want to see him not take that. So yeah, he starts for me on Saturday, but he's got to put his stamp on the game and show us what he can do, because at the moment, I don't know if he's a good player or a bad player. Really don't.
I think that's fair. I think Daniel Kelly himself, and any of these kids, Rocco Vata, Mitchell Frame, anyone else who's around Celtic at the moment from the academy, all they'll be saying was, at least give me a chance. You know, at least give me game time. Some guys spend years, you know, they join the academy at the age of eight, and by the time they're 21, they've hardly kicked the ball and they head off to the championship or something like that. Daniel Kelly's now found himself in the team, in the squad, and getting game time, getting minutes in the last three games. And I think he seems a very level-headed boy, and I think he'll appreciate the chance. But I'm sure that whether it's his academy coaches or Rodgers or the folk that are around him, the folk that guide him, they'll be saying, that's great, you've found your feet, you've played a few games, you're maybe a bit more up to speed with the senior game. The boy's played four games in adult football. Bucky Thistle was his first game, and then the three games since. So it's not a lot, and his total minutes, you know, aren't a lot at all. So leeway, you know, allowed for those three, four games. But now, if he wants to develop and be a starter, you need to show more. So I don't think it's harsh to demand that, because these guys are at Celtic and they know what it's all about, Brido. So there's an opportunity for him. But I would agree with James, and I think Daniel Kelly would agree. More now required, and maybe, you know, let's hope he gets a wee chance to do that at the weekend.
Yeah, and I think it's a big difference between starting games and coming off the bench, especially coming off the bench when the team's not playing well. He came off the bench, one of his games is Hearts away, which down to 10 men, so it's really difficult. The other game, obviously, was he came on against Livingston, where the team just, there was no fluency at all. The game that he did come on and score his goal was the game where absolutely flying. So I just think it's really difficult. I think these young boys are meant to be coming in. We made the point earlier in the season with some of the other players that are we being too hard on them? Because they're probably not meant to be starting games. You know, they're not meant to be the player we're looking to. Like Yang, when he first came in, was he really the guy that we were at that time looking, demanding that he goes and wins his games? No, the idea really is that they come in and we drip feed them in, and they learn, and through the season they actually progress and perhaps challenge for a place. So I think it's important to know that he looks like he's got something, and I agree with Jim. We've not seen it properly yet, but I think we can only judge him if he gets a start in the team and see how the team is different with him in it.
Yeah, and you know, on that just, you know, at the moment, nobody's grabbed the shot. Matt O'Reilly, will, you know, he will remain in place, and I think rightfully so. But Iwata, Bernardo, they can't grumble too much. I think both those players have suffered at times, you know, from the start of the season, a wee bit in, a wee bit out and stuff. But they've had their opportunities in the last couple of games, and I don't think they can complain if Kelly is the one afforded the opportunity this weekend. I think if Brendan Rodgers does play O'Reilly in the six, Brido, it would be an interesting move because he's not done it so far. Ange obviously played him there in Callum McGregor's absence last season. I don't think Brendan Rodgers has ever played O'Reilly in that six. So if he does make that move, it's a departure from what he's done so far. But again, I don't think any of us would really argue if it's O'Reilly, Bernardo and Kelly. Let's see what he goes with. The wingers, I think, pick themselves, James. You've got Deisen Maeda, hat-trick hero. Can't drop that guy, can you?
I mean, don't get me wrong, I've still sell him in the summer, but he starts, guy scores three goals, he'll be flying. So now he starts for me 100%.
Yeah, so that was his 100th game for Celtic. And the first time, Brido, that he scored more than one goal in a competitive game for the club. So, as James says, he'll be full of confidence. And another guy that should have taken a lift, and I know it's Livy, so I get that. But Nicholas Coon, for me, was man of the match. And he at least started to show something of the player that he potentially can be for Celtic.
He definitely did,
absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean,
oh, sorry, James.
You go, Brian. I'm sorry. When you go.
Sorry, mate. He definitely did do that. He definitely did. My only issue is still that he's a left-footed player on the right-hand side. When you play teams like St. Johnstone, and they'll sit in deep and I think and gobble up that space. He did do it really well. I think the movement of the players around him was a lot better than it was in other games, and that helped him. Few nice touches. He looked like he had confidence with the wee dink passes, and he was trying to create. He was forcing the issue himself, so he wasn't hiding like we accused him of. I certainly did in the games of Hibs away and things like that, where he felt like he didn't want to do that. He looked like somebody that had a point to prove, and I think he did that against Livingston.
He obviously had this issue when he arrived at Celtic Park. He had some sort of dental treatment or something going on, which meant he couldn't eat. You might have remembered it from the time. And Brendan Rodgers has come out with quotes in the last week or so saying that he basically lost 8 kilos, which is quite a lot for a guy that probably only weighs about 60 kilos to start with. So there's not a lot of kilos to lose there for Nicholas Coon. And the suggestion is that that's left him devoid of his running power, which is a big part of his game. And Brido, you and I were both at that Hibs game, and at times, whoever the Hibs left fullback was or left wingback was, he was leaving Nicholas Coon for dead down that line. And at that point, you're wondering, because there was rumours that in training, his sprint times was up there with Maeda and different folks. It just didn't look like that. And actually, for whatever he's done in a Celtic shirt so far, his pace hasn't been something that you've absolutely sat back and really noticed. So let's hope he's getting that kind of energy level back, whatever it takes. We know that it can sometimes take new players a bit of time to bed into Celtic, but we can't afford to wait at this moment in time. So the onus is on, the pressure's on Nicholas Coon and anyone else that gets a shot. As I say, we've got, you know, a finite amount of games left, and we really need anyone given a chance to step up. Who's your striker, Brido? We keep chopping and changing. You know, Adam Ida has a couple of good games and he stays in. Then he's a wee bit off the boil for a half, so Kyogo comes in and Kyogo gets a goal or two, and then he starts the next one. And so the cycle kind of repeats itself since Adam Ida arrived in January. Who do you think gets an odd against St. Johnson?
I think he'll give it to Kyogo. And I'm proper 50-50 with it, because I think he's been starved the quality supply in a lot of the games, but he still has done a reasonably good job. Tynecastle, he actually played really well, but then he missed those big moments. Those big moments that Kyogo would probably have taken, you know, so... Mm-hmm. There's a big question mark over that. So the general play, Ida seems to be more involved in doing a lot more for the team. Kyogo seems to be kind of far too quiet. And then, but when it comes to that kind of that moment, you've just got to tuck it away. He got found wanting in that game. So, and was quite quiet against Livy. So I think Kyogo coming on and getting his goal, I think that he might just put him in. But then Brendan Rodgers, you just never know. And he does tend to like having the bigger guy up front. So I think I would probably go with I would probably put Ida in, actually. I'd put him in.
All that
I just changed my mind.
You did, I. You just convinced yourself. See, all that.
50-50, 30 seconds. 30 seconds, I'm all over the place.
You spent about a minute there telling us why Kyogo should start, and then you opt for Ida. So, clear as mud, Brido, but we'll go for that. I mean, generally speaking, there are a few debates there to be had, though. There's no doubt about it. So, I think generally we think the back four will be Alistair Johnson, Carter Vickers, Scales, and Greg Taylor. I think we loosely agree that it might be a midfield that contains Daniel Kelly and more likely with O'Reilly and Bernardo alongside him.
And then up top.
Sorry, James?
Tomoki in the middle for me. I don't think that's changing. But
with who then? You've gone with Kelly, so Tomoki, O'Reilly and Kelly?
O'Reilly and Kelly, yeah. Okay. Bernardo's been an empty shirt. Poor.
Yeah. Okay, so we'll see how that plays out. And then up top, I think we agree, Kuhn and Maeda, and Brido thinks definitely Kyogo, but maybe Ida. Through the middle. Just a quick one, not to dwell on James, but James Forrest came in at the weekend and actually was one of Celtic's better players on a questionable performance. Has he got a part to play?
He's got a part to play. You know, if Yang's a competing right winger for him at the moment with Kuhn, so he's obviously not on the bench, so he could be there or thereabouts, but no, let's not be silly. He's not going to start any games, and you know, Rodgers references that, so just time, you know, it's just his age and whatever kind of thing. So, no, couldn't have start for us very possibly on the bench because we'll need that.
Yeah, I think he'll be on the bench and available. I'd mentioned the fact that James Forrest didn't play one second of football for Celtic in our last 12 games, yet he was then drafted in. And I know there's circumstance with Palma injured and Yang suspended, but he comes in out the cold there and it's, I don't know, I'm not sure what the future is for James Forrest. Someone else also picked up on our James Forrest chat in the comments and says, you know, I've spoken about time waits for no man and Father Time catches up on everybody and stuff. James Forrest is 31, 32, and I think the fella pointed out that Mo Salah is not a million miles away from that. So it's not like James Forrest is on the scrap heap or shouldn't be at this age. If he's 36, you maybe go, okay, your man that's playing for Benfica just now, De Maria, Angel De Maria, he's 36 or 37. So James Forrest, based on age, shouldn't be done just yet, whether it's at Celtic or otherwise. But anyway, I digress, James. I'll go back to other matters. St Johnson, they're not having a great season by any stretch. Craig Levein's obviously there, kind of doing whatever he does. They're in ninth place at this moment in time. Their form's been pretty sketchy. So they drew last time out with Livingston, who are obviously struggling themselves. They beat Aberdeen, but then who isn't beating Aberdeen at this moment in time? And then before that, four defeats on the bounce. St Mirren, Rangers, Dundee and Hearts. We're at home against a side with that kind of forum. We've got to be taking care of business, haven't we? I say this a lot of this time, but you don't deserve to win the league if you don't take care of that at home.
No, it's going to be a Craig Levein special. Wouldn't be surprised to see the 4-6-0 getting popped out. So it's going to be a slog. An early goal is key, but two early goals is really what you're looking for, because then they'll have to maybe think about something. If you score one, Levein will play that 4-6-0 until the end of time and then fling up the farmers for corners and stuff like that. So we've just got to focus on our own game, because we know, like against Dundee, if we come out flying, then we're irresistible. You know, that's the way it's got to be. We can't be thinking about their low block and anti-football and all these things. We've just got to play flowing football the way that this team can and as shown as they can. So, but it'll be tough. You know, Levein's an experienced manager. He'll done his homework. He'll the players well prepped. So, yeah, but a tough game, but that's our job to break down.
It sure is. Brido, irresistible is the word James used there. Do you think we've got in us to be irresistible on Saturday?
Yeah, we've always got it in us. It's just whether or not we can count on one hand for sure how many times I've seen us being irresistible this season. So it'd be against the grain, really. I think you're right, an early goal is absolutely crucial. The issue we have is when we look at our bench tomorrow will be not that great. You know, Kyogo will probably be the only player on that bench that's actually worthwhile being, I think, in our 11, to be honest with you. obviously Yang suspended, so that leaves only Forrest. For a team that had about 95 wingers at one stage, we are relying on essentially three, one of which is James Forrest. It's just mad. We had about 10 centre-halves, of which we've then just played Scales and Welsh together. It's just crazy times. So, irresistible, I hope so. I really, really hope so. And like an early goal, it can happen. But Levine is well known for being well organised and having his teams well organised. And I think I'm hoping for it not to be an over struggle, but it could be a moment where the fans just need to be a bit patient with it. We need to understand that we've not got long to go, and therefore every ounce of energy needs to be towards getting the team over the line, no matter how that looks, irresistible or, I don't know, the opposite of irresistible right now, but something the opposite
resistible.
Of resistible. Thanks, James.
So, yeah.
Shambles. I'm all over the place here.
We'll either be irresistible or resistible or somewhere in between. Regardless what we are, Brady, what kind of scoreline do you think we're going to see on Saturday afternoon?
I'm going to say 2-1. I'm going to say 2-1.
That already seems like a game I'm not going to enjoy.
This is where I'm at with it. 2-0, I think, at one stage, and then we'll concede a stupid goal for a set piece, and then we'll be nerve-wracking for the last 5-10 minutes. Balls bouncing about all over the place. Corner flags getting flung at folk. Joe Hart taking his gloves off to play centre-half beside Scales. Oh, you name it, that will happen tomorrow.
Chaos ball, but 2-1 for Brido, James. What do you think yourself?
A business-like 3-0 win. No messing. Just 3 goals, 3 points. On to the next one.
And I'm all for that. What are you basing that on? Do you think they've got it in them just to kind of... I mean, 3-0 is not grinding out a result, but you think they've got it in them just to go and get the job done, pretty or not, and just move on to the next? Do you think they've got the capability at this moment?
CCV is a big part of it. You know, if we're starting CCV, it brings that calmness to the team. And everyone's mind is on, you know, a kind of staccato performance against Livingston and, you know, the result against Hearts. But you need to take that out of your mind. The Hearts game was kind of contrived upon us rather than anything to do with how we play football or how we set up our team to play football. So think about where we were coming out of the Motherwell game, coming out of the Dundee game. We were flying high. Everyone's going, this title race is on and we're going to get our act together and we're going to do it. That's where your headspace needs to be now. Take the last two games out of it, because one was nothing to do with us, the other one was league business. This is us back to business now. And that's just where I'm coming from with 3-0.
I'm of a similar mindset. I thought we were in great form. And I don't think we as a fan base should flip-flop back to, oh no, look how turgid this is again. Because the Hearts game totally disrupted things. And a whole lot of that was out with Celtic's control. I'm hoping they can now, or that they have now, regrouped at Lennox Town. And we come back at this one fresh. I think 3-1, but I agree with you. I think Carter Vickers is the big reason why Celtic would be comfy in a game like this. You would certainly say if he was on the park against Livingston at the weekend, the first goal wouldn't have happened. Really poor by Stephen Welsh. And you'd debate that the second wouldn't have happened either, because that kind of came down that right-hand centre-half channel where Carter Vickers would have been, you know, steadying the ship. So I think he's got such a huge part to play, A, for the way he plays, but also B, for the calm and influence and leadership that he provides. And definitely that is something we'll need in Callum McGregor's absence. So I'm going to go 3-1. 3-0 for you, James. 2-1 for Brido. James, your final comments as we start to wrap this one up.
Just in reference earlier on, this is just a fun part of the season for me. It's just games coming thick and fast. We're in the semi-finals of the Cup. We've got a very strong chance to win the league if we just take care of business. So, yeah, bring on Saturday. This is what I live for as a football fan.
Yeah, definitely. Brido, your own final comments.
Yeah, I agree with James. This is the exciting part of the season, and I think this is where you've got, you know, one eye on your team, and essentially, unfortunately, naturally, one eye on results elsewhere. It's up to us to do our business, get the job done. I've said it before, if we can't win playing the way that we all want Celtic to play like, then they need to fight it and they need to grind it out. And that means pushing, shoving, you name it. Win your battle and it'll come, get a bouncing deflected goal. It doesn't matter how we win the games now, just get it won. I hope my scoreline's not the scoreline tomorrow, but it'd be great just to see us kind of turn it on, even with those players missing, with the hope that they'll be back to make it even better. So, yeah, definitely. Just get the 3 points. I don't actually care how we get them.
I'm similar to that as well. You know, despite wanting a performance and hoping for 3-0s, 3-1s, just give us the 3 points and we can worry about other things aside. But I'm so focused solely on Celtic. I genuinely don't even know who Rangers are playing, but that might just be down more to a lack of prep on my part. I should probably have had a glance, but I really don't know. So don't know if you lads have got the detail of that. But again, that is something that...
Dundee for Paddy's Day. Big celebration.
And of course, well, and on that, it presents Celtic the chance to go top of the table, which, you know, even though it might only be temporarily, there's a psychological boost in that. But ultimately, Celtic, and we hear this from Brendan Rodgers, and we've certainly heard it from Ange in the past, Celtic can only focus on Celtic, at least until the 7th of April. At the moment, all we can do is focus on our own job, and I'm sure that's what the players will be looking to do against St Johnstone. Thanks to James and Brido for joining me here today. Thanks to everyone who's watching on YouTube, and of course, thanks to those who are listening in podcast format. We'll be back on Saturday evening, shortly after the final whistle, hopefully celebrating a big Celtic win. But in the meantime, thanks for tuning in. We'll see you again soon.
Podcast Network.